Hello, human. Welcome back to another episode of Awkward Turtle at Work with me, your host, Emery. I've got Amanda on the podcast. Say hi to my listeners, Amanda.
Hi, everyone. This is Amanda. Thank you for having me today.
Let us know quickly, what are you working on? Why are you so busy at the moment?
First of all, I'm the founder of Lifestyle ADHD. Under the Lifestyle ADHD umbrella, I operate a social enterprise in a charitable organization dedicated to public education on ADHD. And I hosted over 200 ADHD live work class in the past 4 years, interviewed ADHD experts from Europe, the UK, Singapore, and local, and shared the ADHD knowledge with international and local enterprises. Mm. And I'm the first certified Chinese ADHD coach in Hong Kong to provide ADHD coaching and to adults with ADHD. The most important role of me is I'm an ADHDer. In my 30s, I was diagnosed with ADHD and depression. Over 10 years of dealing with ADHD, I have valuable experience using different treatments to overcome my depression and live well with ADHD. So my vision and objective are to help ADHDers to manage work and everyday life. So this is who I am.
Amazing. Well, after your introduction, I feel like you should be hosting this podcast rather than me with your MC background. How did you start Let's Talk ADHD?
It's an interesting question. Because for me, I follow my passions, and I'm a Christian. So that's why it is a calling for me to start that. Before that, I just think to do many individuals like you. However, I think interview is not just like that. Maybe I can do more. So that's why I think when I back to my undiagnosed period, I would like to go to the internet to search information. So that's why I think I have to open a platform online to let the people to when they click what about ADHD, and they can find appropriate information. And first of all, especially in Chinese.
Yes,
so very that's important. Why I can start. Yeah, and the most important thing is that it must be colorful and have many graphics.
Very visual.
Yeah, visual is very important because in Asia, maybe the people love to have black and white only, many words. It's quite hard for us to focus. So this is the beginning of us. And after that, we tried to have some training and to earn money to maintain our platform. And we have the charitable organization in the last years, finally. So we would like to help much more people.
Let's talk about why do you think that's so important for everyone else to know about it, especially, you know, across different areas of life, in school, in, you know, personal life, and in corporate setting?
I think all the things come from my personal experience. And I found that even you have ADHD, it is not the end of your world. So first of all, I would like to introduce what is ADHD to let all of the people that to know what it is. Because many people just told me that, okay, I knew what is ADHD just for character. But they don't know what it is. They just like think, okay, it's a naughty kid, run around in the classroom and hit other people just like that. So I would like to give you some professional definition of about ADHD. Okay, ADHD, which is stand for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, is a brain-based medical condition. So people with ADHD have differences in brain structure and function and neurotransmitter activities, suggesting that ADHD is a neurological disease that affects how the brain processes and responds to information. So ADHD's brain activities differs from ordinary people's, especially in essential areas, just like our prefrontal lobe, most important for our front brains of ourselves, which are mostly responsible for executive function. So in addition to the differences in the brain activities in essential area, so ADHD's brain is a low level of some neurochemicals. For example, dopamine, which is happy hormone in our brain.
Dopamine,
which can affect our attention, motivation, and mood regulation. So it affects people's ability to focus, and to stay organized and to complete tasks is not just a childhood disorder. Recent studies have found that around 65% of people with ADHD will continue to experience symptoms into adulthood. So it's very important for the people to know that. So I experienced it in my life with ADHD. Something, just like give you an example, it's just like when you have ADHD. Feel like missing orchestra conductor or an organization, and all of the player in the orchestra try to take the center stage at the same time. So you can imagine how chaos is it.
I love that analogy.
So this metaphor is quite easy for you, all of you, to know that we just like function, but disorganized. It's crazy and chaos, but we can't control, and even we don't know. So understand is very important because it affects many aspects of life. In school, it's very easy to understand that the kids with ADHD may struggle with a focus on lessons, complete their homework, or hit sarcastically. They may appear in some daydreaming, inattentive, or they dealing with some medical condition, just life is hard to control that behavior. But in everyday life, people with ADHD might find it's challenging to manage the time, plan, stay organized, and they may need help to hold for adult, the job, or maintaining relationship. You know, it's very important. So in the corporate level, in the workplace, ADHD can be both challenge and can be an asset. On the other hand, employees with ADHD may struggle with organization, some deadline, some teamwork, focusing on the tasks. But on the other hand, they often showed high creativity, flexibility, or something that they can think out of box. And if they have hyperactivity, just like me, I'm workaholic, and hyper-focus of their passion is very important. So by understanding ADHD, we can create a supportive environment for the people with it, and we can help them success in school, work, and a personal life. It's not about laboring, stigmatizations, but about understanding.
I think it's just like understanding and being more aware of there are just different styles of working, right? There's different people like to do things differently. There's not one way of doing things. There's many, many ways of doing things. And that's very important for, let's say, a teacher to understand that, because that might shape how they plan their lessons. Or for a corporate, for example, that might shape, that might influence how they shape certain work or projects, or how they, let's say, assign whoever on. I always suspected I had ADHD, and I shared this.
Welcome to ADHD family.
and I shared this quite openly. And it really manifests in different people in much. And then I only recently got it diagnosed, actually. I honestly, it really helps me massively. Just because knowing what it is, and then actually finding out, the reason why I had anxiety, the reason why I had this or whatever, was because untreated ADHD. And it's helped me to re-look at things in a very different way, manage my own schedule, manage my own way of working, like we mentioned earlier. And now I've got kind of, I guess, mechanism implemented in my life is really helpful. But from your perspective, I'm sure you hear this a lot. Can you share about this trend of the why people don't get diagnosis, and also the impact?
The trend of late ADHD diagnosis in adults is rising. This is rising from London. The people realize, but many adults who were never diagnosed it as children, now they're discovering when they become adults. Just for me, I was diagnosed over 30, and I would like to tell you the DSM-5 manual that is talking about different mental health, which is the definition of adult ADHD.
What's DSM-5 in case people don't know?
In the world, we have a standard manual. So DSM-5 is very important. And many people would like to diagnose ADHD. They have a full list in a DSM-5. You have a pass, amount of a question, that's a condition, that's ADHD. So for the DSM-5, just only recognize adult ADHD in 2030.
Oh, so it's quite new in that sense, in the medical term or
it's very important to notice. ADHD will not disappear.
Yes.
In the adulthood.
Yep.
It can manage. You have learned something. You can manage, but it's not disappear. As I said, 60% children with ADHD continues experiencing symptoms into adulthood. So a lack of awareness and understanding of adult ADHD in the past. And for the population in Hong Kong, around over 200,000 people diagnosed with ADHD. This is a big numbers. So out of every 14 people in Hong Kong, there's someone who are likely and ever showing symptoms of ADHD.
Oh, wow, okay.
And for every 40 people in Hong Kong, there's likely one adult diagnosed with ADHD. So you see, the number is quite big. Diagnosed with ADHD in adults can lead to several challenges that impact in various areas of life. I have experienced that it can contribute to difficulties at work, relationship, and the most important is self-esteem. I have so low self-esteem before. So adults with undiagnosed ADHD may struggle with concentration, organization, time management, impulsivity, which can lead to job loss, relationship conflicts, and feelings of underachievement. It is quite hurt. Treatments for adults ADHD including meditation, psychotherapy, intuitive CPT, cognitive and behavioral therapy, lifestyle change, like improved diets, regular exercise, a strategy for better organization, time management, blah, 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 blah. It's very important.
Wow, it goes on and on and on.
Yes, just like you keep fit, okay? For the girls, keep it, you have to do the whole life job about to keep your body ADHD as well.
Yes, I like that, yeah. So like in physical health, you're going to do your diet, your, you know, sleep or whatever. Same thing with
your
brain.
It is whole package. It's not just like the medication. Okay, whole package, okay. So understanding and managing ADHD symptoms can be significantly improve functioning and quality of life. It can also encourage a better understanding of oneself, leading to positive change in self-esteem and the ability to use the strengths often associated with ADHD, such as creativity, energy, and the ability to think outside the box. Actually, I'm so proud of myself. I have been diagnosed and treated and let myself be a better me.
Well, actually, on that, a lot of people who've got ADHD tends to be, let's say, entrepreneurs or slashers.
Yes.
Because the way they work is different or they're able to be hyper-focused. They can think things very differently, see things with different perspective. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because the general misconception or stereotype of ADHD is someone who's lazy, someone who's not very, you know, academically smart, things like that. But actually, sometimes it's the opposite.
Yeah, opposite. And tell you a secret. actually, officially, I've never been an employee before.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm self-employed in my whole life. And when I graduate, I have a vision that I can't do a 9-to-6 office work. Okay. So I start my career or be a freelance performance blah, 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 slasher in the very early life.
Oh wow! Before it was called slashers.
Yeah. Because I think I'm using my ADHD strength. And
did you know that?
No.
It wasn't on purpose, right? It just happened.
Just follow my passion.
Okay.
And I'm a naughty kid from my mother perspective. Okay. So I'm not a normal kid, but actually it's a quite fit for ADHD behavior. And I found that I feel happy to do something that I feel passionate on it. But for the normal world, why you can't find a job? Okay, but now many people will feel more comfortable because of the slasher feeling. And in this new generation, many people feel it is quite normal. But actually it's maybe good for ADHD. So I think that is the important for increased awareness about adult ADHD. It is, I think it's much more better to have a much more reliable diagnosis service and have more effective and good treatment and support. I think actually is my job. I would like to find more undiagnosed with ADHD, understand their struggle better, and don't feel fear to get diagnosed and to let them know that actually they can have a better life.
And let's talk about that then. In Hong Kong, when I was researching to get diagnosis, it seemed like a lot of the websites, to be quite frank with you, are very much catered to kids. So it took me a while to find the right place, and it didn't seem like that, from my research anyway, that many available.
For kids, it's much more better because school and more funder, they love to support children much more than adults. And they would like, they start to realize that in their growing for the kids, more parents, teachers, and employers become more aware of ADHD and try to know how to support other people with ADHD. It is just like depression. You know, before, in the last 10 years, no one knows that what is depression. That's not just, I'm happy, you think more positive, it's okay. But it's not okay, okay? And I always love to use a metaphor. There's some people, they are wearing glasses, right? They have some problem. And I always ask them, okay, to take off your glasses. And you try to focus, you can see it.
Yes.
So just like ADHD thing, many people start to realize this related to brain issue, and actually there are also some reliable resources in Hong Kong to help people with ADHD. As you said, that's normally several organizations provide information and support for the children with ADHD and the family, mostly. School and the workplace, they start to do that for some understanding and accommodation. For the adult ADHD, maybe we're the most active organization to provide support and to refer the service to the other adult with ADHD. Yep. So the challenging is to access, but the process is being made. And that's why I started Let's Start ADHD to do more education to different stakeholder community to help them to get the diagnosis and support much more easily. But it's a quite long road I have to go.
So if you Google, is ADHD, it can quickly read out. Is ADHD a disability? Is ADHD a mental illness? Is ADHD genetics? Is ADHD common? Is ADHD autism? Is it curable? Is it a spectrum? Is it a learning disability? And the last one that made me laugh was, is ADHD real? So that was like the top 10 question search on Google.
First of all, ADHD is a disable. That is true. So ADHD is considered a disable under many different legal framework, including in Hong Kong, but it's not in Singapore, okay? Still not yet in Singapore.
Also, it's legally recognized as a disability in Hong Kong.
Yes, in Hong Kong. So the Disability Discrimination Ordinance protects us. So it can significantly impair major life activities, including learning and working. So we have to know that our rights. So both in workplace and in school. So if you have any complaint or something that your colleagues or your boss is not treat you well under discrimination about ADHD, you can go to EOC. Okay? So I have to let all of you to know. So the second one is ADHD is a mental illness. The answer is true. So ADHD is classified as a neurodevelopmental disorder by American Psychiatric Association, just the DSM-5. While the term mental illness is a quite broad, sometimes it's a very different kind of illness. It's under the mental illness. So ADHD is generally recognized as a condition that affect our mental health, just like the depression,
anxiety,
bipolar. So the other one is ADHD is genetic. The answer is true. So while not, it's true. It's a very true thing. No, many people don't realize that. While not the solo factor, but genetics plays a significant role in ADHD. Okay. Research has shown that ADHD is often come from their parents. It's around 25%.
Okay.
So it's quite high. And that's why I would like to educate for adults, because they will have their baby. So it is quite important to let you know. And we have a guest before, which is professionally in DNA. She said that due to the women, a pregnant age is become much more late, okay. over 30 years old. So maybe the genetic will have some special change. So more SEN, in Hong Kong we call SEN. SEN children will born.
And SEN stands for, in case people don't know?
A special education need. So it included ADHD, ASD, autistic, and dyslexia, just like that. So in Hong Kong, we're talking about SEN. So genetic issue, it is very important. So you have to know that. So another one is ADHD is common. The answer is true. As I said, that ADHD is the one most common neurodevelopmental disorder. As I said, the global statistics is around 7% in the children and 2% in the adult is quite high. So another question is talking about ADHD is autism. And the answer is false. It is a total difference. ADHD.
Different things.
Yeah, different strains. We have different conditions and the diagnosis criteria is totally different. But they can occur. Co-occurred and they have some overlap in symptoms, and some people will have ADHD and ASD at the same time. So we both call neurodivergent, and just like I give you a sample. So you and me are human, but you are male, I'm female. So it is different, basically. Mm-hmm. So people have to know that it's not the same. So another one is talk about, I think you would like to talk about ADHD is that treatable, curable. Yep.
Can you fix it? Can you cure it? Yeah. Does it go away?
Yep. The answer is false. Yes, the brain structure is different. Okay, mm-hmm. There is no cure for ADHD. But however, under medication, therapy, and lifestyle modifications can effectively manage the condition. It's very important. Yeah. So other thing about the other thing is ADHD is a spectrum. So the answer is true. ADHD symptoms can be very violent and susceptible and impact, leading many experts to view it as a spectrum disorder. So actually everyone is special. So I think ADHD is not a stereotype for ADHD. You must be hyper or you must be daydreaming. Yes. It's not totally false.
That's the thing. When I got my ADHD, I was like, oh, you don't seem like you've got ADHD. That's often a reaction. But like you said, you know, it comes up differently for different people. There's no one way of being an ADHDer.
Yep. And especially both of us, we have a good presentation. Other people think, oh, you don't like having ADHD. So, good presentation is not equal to do not have ADHD, okay?
Yeah, exactly. It's not mutually exclusive. Both.
Okay, so another question is about ADHD is a learning disability. So the answer is false. ADHD is not classified as a learning disability. However, it can be affect learning and often co-occur with special learning disabled. So just like if you... The people that you wearing glasses is not mean that you can't study, but it is quite hard for you to look at the right box, right? It's not related to your brain, so it's a totally false. Okay.
The reason why I think this list was so interesting is because it basically explains a lot of the misconception about what people have about ADHD. You know, what tends to associate with ADHD in a general population.
It is quite interesting. All the corporate is talking about, oh, you have to hire more disabled people. You have to have more women in your board members. You have to have a more LGBT in your company. However, actually, they have much ADHD employees already. They don't realize that. The employees don't realize that, or they didn't voice up.
Already existing in the companies.
Yeah, this is quite interesting. So when we do some training in some workplace or in company, the one focus point is we would like to let the as some people, some employees realize that they maybe have ADHD and get diagnosed. And to help the employers understand it's not a big thing. And it's quite good for them to fully utilize the ADHD employees' ability. In the future, they have an ADHD coach or some people can help ADHD people to reorganize their work or understand themselves or help them to have better diagnosis, just like they wear a better degree glasses. Okay, so they get back to work. So I think would like to help them to understand that. So I would like to share that about 4 points to let the people or the company to have much more ideas why they overlooked it before. First of all, lack of awareness and understanding. Many people need to know the what is neurodiverse means is complicated and it's invisible.
Yes. Well, invisible, but invisible to people who don't know the symptoms, right?
Yeah, don't assume some, and you know we don't like the visible. Disabled people just like
it's not as it's not as apparent, it's not as
there. Just like the mild depression, the term is we are high function ADHD. When I have depression, I'm high function depression person, so I can smile in front of you but I will cry back to my home. Just like me, why I would like to do more talk, because a lot of have an other perspective to know that okay, invisible disabled can just like you. So I think the real case sharing is very important. But you know, many people, especially for the Chinese, they don't like to disclose they have ADHD. It is very sad.
There's also a lot of cultural barriers.
Yes,
to that
yes.
As well.
So it is quite hard to invite many people just like me. Oh, I have ADHD. It's very hard. But in Singapore, it's quite okay. Maybe the culture. They have different kind of culture. So in Singapore, the lady there who found the ADHD in the Singapore unlocking ADHD, she is a lawyer. And she don't mind to show, I'm a lawyer and I'm an ADHD. Okay, I would like to have some professionals that they have ADHD and can come up.
Yeah, and that's usually the most like unlikely, quote unquote, people have association with ADHD and a lawyer.
Yeah, and other people, the linking is ADHD just like the people working in McDonald's to clean the table.
Which is very, very false.
Yes, many of ADHD, they have a high educational background. They're so smart. They're charming, but they're disorganized. So neurodivergent individuals may also have other coexisting conditions, just like a mental health issue or physical disabled. So maybe they will tend to fix that kind of problem. They don't realize that they have ADHD at the same time. So at the same time, it's not just only ADHD. Some ADHD, we have some ADHD members, they finally find out that they also have autistic, over 30 years old.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, interesting. So autistic is not all the people that can't speak.
Verbal and, okay. Verbal and non-verbal. Yeah.
At the same time, so neurodiverse is the same for ADHD, dyslexia, just like that. So we have a very clear concern about that. So for the that's kind of intersectionally between the neurodivergent and other communities, such as LGBTs community.
Very high correlation.
Yes, a high correlation to have LGBT than the general population. I think the intersectionally could be due to the various factors, including shared experience of stigma or the marginalization and possible the biological correlation. So actually, some research we're talking about that. So however, despite we have those challenges, I think the recognition and acceptance of neurodivergence is very important. So advocate effort is increasing. So I also advocate that for ADHD and push forward strike-based neurodiversity. We have to embrace that. And this outlook recognized the unique contribution of neurodiverse individuals and advocates for sociological changes to be a better accommodate neurodivergent people rather than accept them to conform neurotypical norms. So just like that. Okay, so I give you another example to explain.
I love it.
The ADHD. So I think most of the people will have your mobile phone, right? Some of you using iOS system iPhone, and some of you, much more people use Android system mobile phone. So, but they are both outstanding system, right? But actually they are different formats. So I would like to tell you, ADHD Spring, just like we are using iOS system, iPhone system. So we are good and work very well. However, first of all, we must know that you are an iOS system and learn how to use your own user manual, because we was taught to be an Android system when we grew up in our education system. So that's why we can't function well. So please understand the differences and learn your ADHD brain user manual. So I think that is that's why the people overlook that. And I think if you have that kind of perspective, you will much more understand ADHD or brain, but you also respect our brain because we are so smart. Yes. It's very important.
You know, all my life, I think when I was younger, I didn't do very well in school. And there was so much shame around it. And it also makes you want to disengage more. And luckily I was very into sports, so I had like a different area of life, so I still really enjoy school in that aspect, but you know, it's the stigma of ADHD people are not very smart is a huge, very, very negative impact. And it really stops people to have a future.
In the past, we all grew up that people will have some stigma to ADHD people. So in this October 22 to 28, we organized a virtual and in-person seminar to enhance public understanding of ADHD. And this year, the topic is talking about ADHD navigating success. We are firmly believe that individuals with ADHD can lead successful life. And this segment is embodied to our light up. So we are incredibly honored to have Mr. Daniel Kwong, the Oscar-winning director of Everything Everywhere, all at once.
Wow.
In this year, as our keynote speaker.
Is coming to Hong Kong?
No, sadly, no. But it's online because I have invited but a crash to his schedule. Daniel was diagnosed with ADHD after he researched for the film. So his personal story proved that ADHD doesn't restrict one's potential. So it's very important that he loved to share. And he can share that why he can fully utilize the ADHD symptoms in his movie. He said that for the Michelle Yang character in the movie, it's just like an undiagnosed adult ADHD behavior. So, if someone don't know watch the movie. Okay. And the registration is free. And for the single sign up, and you can access all online and physical seminar. And the most important to let you know that we would like to help all around the world people to understand that. So we do this section with the English and Chinese subtitle. And after the ADHD Awareness Week, we will replay our seminar in November. So, you know, ADHD people always forgot the schedule. So that's why we would like to have a replay in 1 month to let all the people to learn more. So this is our Let's Talk ADHD. If you want to know more, please go to our fan page, Let's Talk ADHD, and our website to do registration.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Okotelo, over and out. All right, episode is over. Thank you so much again for being part of this conversation, no matter how awkward the topic can be sometimes. Now, if you enjoyed the episode, I would like you just to help me with three tiny things. One is to just share this episode to who you might think would be useful too. Two is to go to wherever you listen to the podcast and give me a rating or a review. This will just help me to reach other people and spread the goodness of DEI. Now, finally, the third and final thing I need to help me with is to use what we discussed today in this episode and think of ways how you can also adopt the values of D&I in your workplace, in your business, or in your everyday life. Now, if you'd like to share that with me and the audience, feel free to drop me a message. You can go to the show notes and find out how you can do that, including where you can find this week's guest. So, as always, thank you so much for listening. I'll see you on the next one.